This is a HeadGum Podcast.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Tig?
Oh, yeah? Oh. I was just smiling at myself on video, and I was just thinking, man, my teeth are so stained. Oh. What are you up to?
Listen, this is a fun one today. Mm. I mean, even though we're covering a very serious.
Yes.
It's a very serious story.
It is a very serious story, but it's also.
It also sparks us to go down many ridiculous rabbit holes.
Yeah.
Would you say that?
Not once. Not once did we.
Veer off?
Not once. No. We talk about 80s music that we like.
Yeah, that's true.
Cheryl apparently loves AC/DC.
I do love AC/DC.
Have you seen them live?
No.
Mm-mm. I have.
Oh, well. Mm-hmm. Did you love it?
Loved it.
Concerts get a little, it's too many people.
Sweaty. We talk about that.
We talk about sweat a lot. All right, shall we just get to it?
Yep.
Ladies and jerks. Welcome to Tina.
It all started when Tig and Cheryl met in the mid-2000s.
Hey, nice to meet you, Tig. I'm Cheryl Hines.
Hi, Cheryl. I'm Tig Notaro. Should we do a podcast about documentaries?
Yes.
A podcast about documentaries?
Is this microphone on?
Five furious frogs fiddling faintly. Furious frogs fiddling faintly. Five furious frogs fiddling faintly.
I am the first ever podcast. And Tig and Cheryl are following in the sound of my footsteps.
Let's get started.
I'm so ready.
Tig and Cheryl.
True story.
Cheryl.
Tig.
You look ready for this episode.
I have my glasses on today.
Why?
Well, sometimes I have to read things and I can't really see it.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yours look nicer than mine.
Oh, I just buy them at the drugstore.
Do you?
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Yeah, because you lose them.
I lose them constantly. I have one in a drawer, one in my pocket, one in the car.
I mean, I don't know how people don't lose them. I guess you wear the string around the thing.
Yeah.
I'm like somebody's old aunt.
Sure. I'm open to being an old aunt.
I am an old aunt. I'm acting like...
I'm actually an old aunt, too.
Are you?
Yeah.
God, I didn't, I never really thought about myself that way until just this moment. Okay.
Well, like maybe crazy... try looking in the mirror.
Like the crazy old aunt. Oh, yeah, that is me. Shall we talk about Tina?
Oh, heck yes.
Okay.
I would be anyway.
You would be anyway?
I would be talking about Tina anyway, I know, so we might as well.
She's pretty amazing. Okay. Today we're talking about Tina. Tina is a 2021 documentary directed by Dan Lindsay and TJ Martin that chronicles the life and career of legendary musician Tina Turner. From her impoverished childhood to her relationship with Ike Turner to her solo career, the film offers interviews with Tina and people close to her, as well as extensive archival footage. Tina premiered at the Berlin International Film Festival and is available to watch on... Available.
You know, I honestly thought in that moment that maybe you pronounced that word like that And then I thought,
and is
that
available.
Can't be famously Floridian.
I don't think one Floridian.
Is anything called famously Floridian?
No, but oh my God.
It's a good title. Welcome to your new spinoff.
Thank you. Okay, it's available to watch on HBO, where over 1 million viewers watched its premiere. Wow. So this is all about Tina Turner.
Were you familiar with it before? Or had you seen it already? Or did you watch it just for...
No, I hadn't seen it. I had not seen it. But I had watched What's Love Got to Do with It. Remember that movie that came out?
I do.
Did you see it?
I did not, no. But had you heard of this documentary?
Yeah, people are talking about it.
Yeah.
My friends were talking about it, and everybody says it's good.
Yeah.
Had you seen it already?
I had not seen it. I had been planning on seeing it, and then when we were doing it for the show, I thought, well, this is perfect. I'll wait to watch it then. And so how was What's Love Got to Do with It?
It's such a good film. So that was a film, well, I don't even know when it came out, in the 90s probably. And the, you know, and it's her story, and it just a great film. But anyway, let's talk about
Tina.
Yeah, Tina.
Yeah, Tina's the reason for the season. Yeah.
Usually people say that at Christmas time, but I like that we're saying
it now. We're inching up on Christmas.
That's right.
It's almost May.
Do you want to hear Tina talk?
Always.
Okay.
Any more stupid questions?
Well, let's just hear a quick clip from Tina, and then we'll take it from there.
Okay. Then I might call her directly on my phone here.
Oh. Do you know Tina Turner?
No, but I think I know what her number is.
You're just going to guess 10 random numbers.
I wondered sometimes if anyone has approached you to do the story of your life, which is indeed fantastic.
Yes. But I don't want to play the part. I've done it.
Who else could play the part of Tina Turner?
We'll find someone. I just really don't want to play the part. You know what I mean? No, you don't know what I mean, because you'd have to know me to know. It was just so unlike me, my life, that I don't want to know about it. I mean...
You mean it'd be too painful or too...
It wasn't a good life. It was in some areas, but the goodness did not balance the bad.
That's so sad.
Yeah, it's really sad because that interview is in recent years, right? That when she's being asked about making that?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I think that it is really sad because I feel like she's been alive a lot longer. You know what I mean? Or maybe I don't know.
Alive? What does that mean?
Well, I was thinking
she's been
like,
alive a lot longer than what?
Well, I was thinking like the first half of her life. It seems like, you know, that would be, of course, I don't know, now that I'm talking, I don't know what I'm talking about, because I'm thinking that up until, like, through her marriage with Ike, of course, that was terrible, and then she had rough times as a child, and...
But don't, let's not spill beans if that's where I see you're headed. Don't skip ahead to the end of the film. Is that what you're about to do?
Why, what happened?
Let's just take it easy.
Well, okay, yeah. We won't spill beans. But it just seemed like her life... Oh, I keep almost spilling beans.
I know, don't.
I want to say the good and the bad.
No.
Okay.
We're starting out at the bad, cuz that's basically where this film starts.
Well, you just spilled the beans, saying you're just starting out at the bad, because that implies that gets better.
Okay. Let's stay focused. Look. So she's saying that her life has been so painful.
Yeah.
And what we find out in this documentary is even her growing up, you know, her parents deserted her.
Mm-hmm.
Left her.
Yeah.
And she really didn't, I don't think they had much. I mean, she said that her parents didn't even send money or anything.
Yeah, it sounds like there was a lot of struggling.
So that's had to be painful to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And then she meets Ike Turner when she was 17. Uh-huh.
Wait, and yeah, her mother left.
Yeah, but didn't her father leave too? Oh my God, we really should take notes when we watch these films.
Well, it seems like...
they both left.
Okay. Why? Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm sure everybody's had that impulse in their life at some point.
To leave their children?
To just think for one second, oh my God, I can't take it. What if I just...
Wait, what Cheryl. If I... Are you really saying you've had an impulse to pack up and dart?
I'm saying I've had days where it just felt like, ugh. I'm just going to keep driving by the house and see where I land.
I really hope that your family doesn't listen to this.
Well, they have to know this about me. I'm sure they do. It can't be. It's no breaking news.
That you contemplate not coming home? Okay.
But anyway, so I understand the urge, but most people, it's just a fleeting thought.
Yes, but both of her parents acted on it.
Which is so horrible. And I mean, and then so she meets Ike Turner, and she's very taken with him. She loves how talented he is.
Yeah.
And she asks him if she can get on stage with him and sing.
And he wasn't... He wasn't completely open to it right away, right?
No.
Putting her off a bit.
Yeah. And then somehow it came around.
Yeah. Why did it come around? Do you know?
Remember, he was gone and she sang. Oh, my God. We have really got to watch this.
I watched it. I just like stopping you to get specifics.
Don't ask me for specifics.
Well, that's the fun of it. Is to see if you have them, because I don't have them. I watched it. Let me be honest. There was a point where I did fall asleep and I woke myself up snoring. Not because the movie was boring. I love Tina Turner and I was exhausted. I was so tired. And Stephanie and I were doing that thing of like where she'd say, "Are you awake?" And I'd say, "Yeah." And then I'd be out. "Are you awake?" "Yeah, no, I'm awake."
I found it impossible to go to sleep after I watched this because I just had all the music. Oh, that's a good job in the city. I was just going around and around in my head.
Yeah.
I close my eyes and I'm like, can't get it out.
Okay.
We're skipping ahead. Anyway, so she meets. Okay. And finally he says, yes, come up and sing with us.
Whatever event led to that. She ended up on stage.
If you're interested, watch the film.
We don't know. For sure, if both parents left. We don't know exactly what got her on stage with Ike, but it happened.
It happened, and he really liked her, and he had this big brother type of a relationship with her, and then...
It seemed to turn romantic.
Yeah, at some point it did.
Yeah.
At some point it did.
Right. And she wasn't even named Tina.
That's right.
Her name was not Tina. I don't know what it was, but it was not Tina. But he named her. He named her Tina.
Her name was Anna Mae Bullock.
Anna Mae Bullock.
But he thought that Tina was more interesting than Anna.
Well, I caught that. His favorite show was Sheena.
Yeah.
And he thought Tina. I don't know. Maybe Tina sounded like Sheena.
I guess so.
I feel like I watched Sheena as a kid.
You're really, really fuzzy with a lot of specifics.
I'm tired.
Oh, all right. We'll get you through this.
I mean, I'm happy to be a part of this episode. I'm just a little clouded.
You are burning the candle at both ends.
I am.
Which I never really understood, because who's holding that candle?
Well, somebody's holding it with their thumb and their first finger in the middle. And so the wick is being burned at both sides and it's getting closer to
your disaster.
Little, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he changed her name to Tina. Although Ike and Anna sounds good to me, but I won't.
Or what about Sheena Turner?
Yeah. Why not just go with Sheena?
Yeah.
I like the name Sheena.
Yeah.
Okay. So he named her Tina Turner.
Mm-hmm.
And they fell in love. And he had trust issues because he had written this in 1951, this song, Rocket 88. And then his sax player, Jackie Brinston, was credited for the song.
Yeah.
And so that was tough for him.
It's tricky. And Rocket 88 was supposed to be, what, the first rock and roll recording?
Yeah, they were saying that.
Mm-hmm. 88's my favorite number.
Had you ever heard of Rocket 88 until this documentary?
No but 88 okay. is my favorite number. And I mentioned okay. that half asleep to Stephanie. And she said, yes, and you like rockets. And then we continued watching the movie.
You guys had a riveting conversation yeah. during this. Okay, and now this is difficult to talk about because it's a tragic story.
Mm-hmm.
The abuse that Tina Turner endured from Ike.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so painful for her. But, you know, she talks about it and she just would talk about how he would abuse her all the time, before a show, after a show.
And it was really a time when people weren't talking about, when she came forward with this.
Yeah.
And she talked to People magazine, right?
You're jumping ahead, but oh, yes.
Fine.
It's okay. So she was recording with Ike and then Phil Spector.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was trying to get to.
She was surrounded by some shifty shadies.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I know, but at the time, Phil Spector was like...
hadn't murdered anybody.
Mm-hmm.
That we know of.
So it's also hard to talk about somebody who's really talented and at the same time they murdered somebody and went to jail. It's hard to, you know... It's yeah. like, whoa, Phil Spector.
Yeah.
But at the time, he was a big deal and he said to her, I would like for you to come in and record a song.
Mm-hmm.
And leave Ike at home.
Yes.
And then he paid Ike not to come into the studio. I want that job.
Really?
I'll pay you not to come close to work.
Are you, do you feel overworked? Do you just, you like being home?
No.
And
no,
yet like you're working. Not sure if you're ever going to come home again. It's a confusing picture that you're painting.
Every day is an emotional roller coaster for me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
If you like a good murder mystery story, you'll love June's Journey, a free hidden object mobile game where Detective June Parker unravels the mystery of her sister's death. Travel back to the beautifully illustrated 20s, find clues, discover hidden objects, and watch the story unfold with new chapters released weekly. Put your detective skills to the test. Download June's Journey on Android or iOS. Or play online via Facebook games.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax. The way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
Well, so she records a song, River Deep, Mountain High. Mm-hmm. It was a flop in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And Tina and Ike move to L.A. They have 4 sons. 2 were from Ike's previous marriage. 1 Tina had with Ike's saxophonist. Whoa. And the 4th is Tina and Ike.
Did they mention that in the movie?
I don't recall that, but I see that in my notes.
Yeah. Interesting.
That seems like that would have been a
conversation. Yeah. It seems like maybe it was after Ike or no. That's interesting.
Right?
Yeah. I don't know how I would deal with that if Stephanie was having children with my saxophonist.
Yeah. It's a tough one.
Yeah.
But listen, love wins out. But yeah.
People say anyway. That, but a lot of times love does not win out. I've seen it many times. People love to be like, love wins. Love wins. It's like, not always.
Well, you know when it doesn't win is when one person
has
is
a child with a saxophonist.
Oh, that's not what I was going to say. I was going to say, if one person is an asshole mm-hmm. and the other person is quite pleasant,
yeah,
then there's a good chance that love is not going to win out.
So both people have to be pleasant.
Well,
or can both be terrible people?
I think so.
And then love will win?
Maybe. I think terrible people are attracted to good people. Mm-hmm. Do you find that?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Because they need balance.
Yeah. And, you know, it reminds me actually of, I was reading about how alcoholics have successful relationships.
Yeah.
If they marry another alcoholic or they're in a relationship with another alcoholic.
You mean a recovering alcoholic or just somebody who's like, look, this is what I do?
Just booze hound or alcoholic. It's harder to maintain a relationship if you don't drink similar amounts.
That is interesting, and I've never heard that before. But it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. But it also could be a fact that could change, you know, in the next article I read. Just depends on who wrote the article, right?
Where are you getting your news?
I don't know. I read that years ago and I thought, okay. Well, that's interesting. That kind of makes sense. You know, if you both want to booze it up.
Right. Because then your expectations are the same. But if you're with somebody who, if you don't have a drinking issue and the other person does, and that's very difficult because you're needing them to do something that they can't. Do.
Right. And they're probably needing you to booze it up.
Yeah. They would like you to booze it up and lighten up. And
yeah.
So, yeah, that's not going to work.
Okay.
But if that person is recovering, then that works.
Yeah. Recovery is good.
Recovery is really good. So then Ike and Tina record Proud Mary, Rolling on the River.
I have heard that one. I have heard that too.
I mean, that was huge.
Huge.
And people were so excited to see Tina Turner dance on TV.
I'll take it anywhere. Tina Turner dancing on a podcast. That'd be a great podcast to just hear her dancing. Just press record. And
just hear the beads.
Yeah, the beads jiggling.
Jiggling. Yeah.
And her hair.
Her hair has to make some sort of
swishing
noise
around.
Yeah. Because it's so, the great thing about this documentary is when you watch her perform, because mm-hmm. she's just mesmerizing.
Yes. Probably doing both.
And I love that she gets so sweaty.
Oh, boy, does she get sweaty.
I know. And it's part of her. But you know why she looks good sweaty? Because her body.
Her body. I heard once years ago that she had her legs insured.
Oh, I believe that.
Okay.
I mean, because imagine.
You have to snap at me about Tina's legs. Sheena Turner's legs.
Well, they're part of her package.
Yeah.
That sounds weird.
Well.
Brand.
Yeah. Brand. Have you ever heard Tina and Ike do the Led Zeppelin song Whole Lot of Love?
Are you kidding me right now?
No, I'm not.
Is there really?
Yes, there is. In fact, we can convince Thomas to drop Whole Lot of Love into this episode and blow everyone's minds. It is one of the greatest covers you'll ever hear.
I love that song, first of all.
Okay, you love it by Led Zeppelin.
I love it by Led Zeppelin, and I cannot even imagine it.
Hold on to your hat, my dam. Get a little tunage of Whole Lotta Love. Yes, he goes way down inside. I know you need it. Come on, how incredible.
God. I love
how incredible. And the song just builds so magically. It's electrifying.
Okay, I'm going to go listen to that when this
Please
is over.
Please do.
Yeah, so people loved Ike and Tina together. They loved them together. And and people didn't know what was going on behind closed doors, and Tina was very tortured in many ways, so much so that she took a bottle of sleeping pills after he threw scalding hot coffee on her. And she was like, I can't take it anymore.
Mm-hmm. And then she was like out of it, couldn't get on stage, right? Then she went to the hospital. They pumped her stomach.
Yeah.
And
revived her.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was back with Ike.
Yeah.
And then she met a woman named Valerie Bishop who introduced her to Buddhism.
Mm-hmm.
And she started learning more about Buddhism, and she started gaining confidence in herself, and Ike lost his influence over her.
Mm-hmm.
So it promised change. Buddhism promised change, but she didn't know how that change was going to come about, and she didn't know what to do, but she just kept, you know.
Have you ever been into Buddhism?
I can't say that I've been into it, but, you know, I went to Bhutan. And I like the philosophy of Buddhism a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Why have you?
No, I find it very interesting and intriguing. I just, I've just never looked further into it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, yeah.
I forgot she was Buddhist until I watch this documentary.
I don't know that I ever knew she was.
Are you a fan? Like, have you followed her career? Or?
Well, yes, I am a fan. And I just remember, you know, in the 80s and 90s.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know this about me, but I did work at a this big nightclub that only played 50s and 60s music.
Oh, well, good and, for you. Yeah, is that recent? Welcome. Was that
this is when I was like 18 through 22 or something.
Wow.
But we would do what we called showtimes, and we would lip sync to all different songs, and of course Proud Mary was one of them, so you can just imagine me.
This is one of those jobs that people like you also working at Universal Studio or Universal City Walk, is that where you worked?
No, Universal Studios.
What is wrong with you? But you worked at Universal Studios?
Yes.
And then you also worked at a restaurant where you sang.
It was called Studebakers.
Of course it was. What town was this? Orlando?
This was in Tallahassee, and then I moved to Orlando, and there was also a Studebakers there, so I got to transfer.
But these are the types of jobs that people who want to get into, you know, entertainment, that want to get into show business, that's what they do. And sometimes they get jobs at, like, the Rock and Roll Cafe. What is that? Hard Rock Cafe.
Yeah.
You know, because they don't know how to get into the business.
But it's got
to
be close.
So delivering, you know, cheese fries with Jimi Hendrix guitar behind you, nailed to the wall. And so you're a little closer. You're a little closer.
You're a little closer than
And then
you
there's young Cheryl Hines dancing around, taking orders and lip syncing to Proud Mary. Okay, she's almost there. She's almost on curve. But she just hasn't quite moved to Los Angeles yet and gotten a job at Universal Studios.
Mm-mm.
Where you'll be taking tickets? What were you doing there?
Don't ask me why or who thought of this, but they had this tribute to Alfred Hitchcock, and they recreated the shower scene from Psycho. So I played.
You're getting so close to breaking into getting an agent.
I played Janet Lee. Oh, I had to wear a flesh-colored bodysuit, and I had to stand in a shower while somebody stabbed me with a rubber knife.
Dreams do come true. If I got a job like that, I would be so scared that I would become one of those people where they say it was supposed to be a rubber knife, and then they switched it with a real knife. I would not trust that it was going to be a rubber knife. Did you ever have those moments of thinking?
No, I never thought that. Although it was weird because it was a volunteer from the audience who did the stabbing.
Oh, my God.
So there were times when they would really come at you and it's like, yeah, yeah, get back.
Uh-huh.
But I never worried about them switching the knife.
I just feel like you hear about the haunted houses and somebody's got something or like some real psychopath jumps out. And
well, those are terrifying. Have you ever been to like the horror nights and they run after you down the street with a chainsaw?
Exactly. How do you know that's not really a psychopath that showed up with a chainsaw? That's not fun to me.
Oh,
I'm going to pay for this.
Yeah, my friend peed in her pants. Because it's terrifying. Yeah, people are running after you. And they do.
Yeah,
like...
I'm sorry, an adult friend of yours?
Mm-hmm.
Used her pants?
She used her pants.
Your adult friend used her pants? How old was this person?
She was probably 27.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But she, you know, because we were laughing... It's a bad combination to be laughing so hard and to be scared
drunk.
At the same time.
Uh-huh.
And maybe a little drunk.
Sure.
It's a tough combo. So things are going to happen.
Have you used your pants before?
I don't think so. Seems like you would remember. I'm just trying to remember. Because I do have a problem with laughing, but I don't think I've ever. Have you?
Well, I mean, that was my go-to toilet as a child. I just used my pants. But, oh, yeah. When I didn't have time to climb down from the tree I was in and go use the toilet.
Oh, my God. You would just come home at the end of the day like,
just
hey,
reeking
so
of
what?
Urine. Yeah. Who's going to clean this mess? But I'm not going to name any names, but I know somebody. Mm-hmm. And this is not Stephanie.
Okay.
But I, in case this person is listening... Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell their story, but I'm not going to say their name. But this person used their pants, okay?
Uh-huh.
But it was not one. It was number two, okay? And it was white pants. It was accidental.
Come on.
This is an adult. This is an adult human that has children, okay? And she accidentally went number two in her white jeans.
Okay, that is an accident.
White pants. And then she took the pants to the dry cleaners.
Okay, at this point, you need to throw them away.
Okay, but hear me out.
Okay, yep.
Told the dry cleaners that she sat in
please.
Poop. But it just so happens that the poop was on the inside. The pants. And she sat directly where
it would come out. Mm. And did they get it out?
I was laughing too hard when I heard the story that I
God.
I don't know if they got the stain out, but
how about the dry cleaners? They must hear some real...
Oh, my gosh.
Some real big lies.
Yeah. We should do a segment called Going to the Dry Cleaners and just ask them some hilarious or disgusting story or lie that they've heard. Oh, really? Is that right, ma'am? You sat exactly on poop where poop comes out, but it's on the inside of your pants? Okay, ma'am. We'll get this cleaned up for you.
Oh, my God. Okay. Listen, we've got to circle back.
Oh, yes. Tina.
I forgot.
Tina.
Tina. She doesn't deserve this chat no. that we're having.
She doesn't deserve anything but goodness. Starting now. Okay, no more. Okay. No more but goodness.
Okay, well, I can tell you something good that happens. Okay. Because she decided she wasn't going to take it anymore, and she left Ike.
This would be a good point in this episode to insert Twisted Sisters, We're Not Gonna Take It.
We're not gonna take it.
You know those drums when the song first starts?
Yeah, exactly.
Can you mimic what the drums sound like?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I think you'll just mock me and
I have never mocked you.
You do.
Nor have you ever mocked me.
You did. Oh.
I can't remember it. But
okay,
so she's all Twisted Sister about it.
Yeah, she goes back to LA. She goes into hiding, and she talks about her first day of freedom was the 4th of July.
Yes,
that's cute and sweet.
She ran across a freeway, running from Ike when he passed out. She ran across a freeway and a big 18-wheeler almost nailed her.
Yeah. But by the way, if you do watch What's Love Got to Do with It,
mm-hmm.
this scene is in there and she walks up to a hotel. It's like a Ramada Inn.
It was a Ramada Inn.
She asks to see the manager and she says, I don't have any money. I have
she had 36 cents on
36
her.
Cents. My name is Tina Turner. And if you let me stay here, I promise I will pay you. And when I was watching that movie in the movie theater, the whole movie, I'm trying not to cry because I'm like, just keep it together. And then that happened. And when she said, my name is Tina Turner and I have 36 cents, I started crying like, I don't know what happened to my
God.
It was the loudest. It was like this loud, uncontrollable.
Oh my gosh.
My friends
Cheryl.
Were like, are you okay?
And How many friends were you? You were watching this with friends?
Yeah, I went to the movie theater with like two people. And they were like, what is wrong with you?
Oh, I thought you meant watching the documentary.
No. In the movie.
I'm sorry. I wasn't listening to you.
Why should you?
Oh my God! So you just started ugly crying.
Oh, beyond, and I could not pull it together.
What do you think hit you in that moment? You know, is there something personal?
No, I think because I was just so invested in her journey, and she had been through so much, and she, you know, had to walk into this place, even though she was a superstar, and say, I have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I was just, you know, but she'd rather do that than stay where she was.
Right.
I mean, it was just, it wasn't one of my finest moments. Plus, it was very distracting. It's not fair to the rest of the audience. They're trying to watch a very good film, and I'm like...
And it might have sounded like you were laughing, too.
Oh.
Because you sound, it sounds well, maniacal. It sounds.
Well, there were lots of sniffles involved as well. It was clear.
Did you get a hanky out and blow your horn? Your big red nose.
Hanky. I was a real wreck by the end of the film.
What if you never pulled it together during that movie?
And that was just me for the rest
the
of my
rest,
life.
The rest. Yeah, I told a story one time live on stage, and it was emotional for me. And when I was doing the run through in front of the other performers before we performed on stage, I got choked up and I walked out of the room and I sat in the hallway and just got emotional. And the director of the event came out and said, listen, if that happens to you on stage, just go with it. Just know that you're in a safe environment and allow yourself to cry. And I said, thank you. I mean, I know that, but I appreciate hearing that and I'll be okay. And I could not stop thinking about what if I was telling my story and I started crying and I went with it. And I just never
you sat down on
I
set
never reeled it in.
And just
I
cried.
Was just in fetal position crying. And I never returned to the story. And they had to come out and tap me and just say, we need
it's over. It,
yeah, we need
we
you to get off
the stage.
Yeah. And then I just really, really continued to cry to where the show was over, the lights were going out, people were leaving. And
you're still there.
Yeah. Aww.
I had sort of the opposite thing happen at the Groundlings Theater where I used to perform and we do sketch comedy and improv. Mm-hmm. And I was doing this sketch with this woman, this other girl, and we broke and we started
broke
laughing.
Broke meaning, yeah, you started
yeah,
laughing.
Yeah, we were laughing. I mean, it was ridiculous. The whole sketch was ridiculous. She was my neighbor and she was doing... you know, doing drug experiments. Uh-huh. So she had all kinds of drugs that the pharmaceutical companies paid her to take. But we started laughing, okay? Yeah. And then the audience laughed. Oh, you know this, Tig, because we've been through this. And then the audience stopped laughing, and we were still laughing, couldn't get it together. And then the audience started laughing again. And then it's quiet, except the two of us still laughing on stage. Everybody's moved on. They're like, get these. And they finally just blacked out the scene. The whole thing was just these two idiots standing on stage laughing so hard.
And the curtain goes down.
And then the next weekend, you know, it was a set show. So the next weekend, we were supposed to perform the same show. And this one girl came backstage and she goes, oh, I came for the laughing sketch, but you guys didn't have it. It's not a
laughing sketch.
She goes, I heard that there's a whole scene where you do nothing but laugh and then it just goes to blackout.
That is the exact opposite. Mine was my
opposite.
Crying story.
Hmm. Okay, Tina. Okay, Tina. Listen, we got to really. So Tina is very important. She starts to make a comeback. She's hustling.
What's love got to do with it?
Okay.
Comes
she
out.
Meets. Okay. Okay, can we talk about What's Love Got to Do with It for 1 second?
Yeah.
Can I talk about one moment in the film that's my favorite?
Sure.
What's Love Got to Do with It was, there was another band that recorded.
Yes. I can't remember their name, and claimed to have been somewhat successful.
They were called Bucks Fizz. And it was
Bucks Fizz. When's
like,
that reunion?
It was these four white kids, two guys and two girls.
Yeah.
And you want to hear what their version of it was?
Yes, please.
But it's fantastic because they are
white. They are whiter than white.
I think they actually recorded it.
It's 80s white people.
And they were, at one point, they all had helmets on.
Have to wear a helmet.
Like roller derby helmets with their bangs pushed down, sticking out past the helmet.
I just looked up a Bucks Fizz fan page on Instagram.
Yeah, is there one?
Of course. Well, they were huge. They have
were they
651
really?
Followers on their fan page.
Okay. Oh, you guys should look at Bucks Fizz because are they still like turning it out? I like that I just said turning it out.
That's the only, actually Bucks Fizz 38 years ago today, this was April 4th, 2019, Bucks Fizz won the 1981 Eurovision Song Contest. Happy anniversary.
And then so Tina then recorded that song and made it her own, and that was like huge. And then after that came, you know, I'm your private dancer.
Dance for money. She really talks like she sings.
Don't you love hearing her talk?
I love everything about that woman. I love her.
She is amazing. And her dream was to
sell out
Stadiums. Like the Rolling Stones.
That's right. And she never did, unfortunately. She was always a cabaret entertainer.
Absolutely not true. And she did.
Oh, she did. Okay.
She sold, 20 million copies of Private Dancer. And she toured around and she had huge crowds. And then.
Yeah.
Okay, this is where Aiden and Brandy should turn off the vacuum cleaner.
You have such a good memory. It's crazy. But yes, Aiden and Brandy.
Yeah.
Shut them off.
If you don't want to hear some beans being spilled about Tina's life, she finally found true love.
Yeah.
With this sweet guy, Erwin Bach. And they fell in love.
He
and
picked her up at the airport, right?
Yeah. He was supposed to just be her driver.
Mm-hmm.
And he did drive her.
We're going to have to bleep that out. Oh, are you going to bed? Good night.
They fell madly in love with each other. And he's in this documentary, too. And it's so cute to hear him talk about her.
Yes. He seems to really adore and cherish her.
And they got married after 27 years of being together.
Yeah, why do you suppose that is?
I don't know. That's interesting.
It's really interesting because that was just a handful of years ago that they got married.
Yeah. I don't know. This is very sweet.
She's, what, 81, 82 now? I don't know.
Well, the afterlife?
Maybe because he's 15 years younger, she wants to make sure legal reasons.
She locks it down. Oh. Legal. I see.
Money and like property.
Like medical. If you're in the hospital and somebody says, who's your next of kin?
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, all of those reasons.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's very sweet. Listen, after 27 years together, I think it's going to last.
Uh-huh.
And they were very happy. So she did find happiness.
She did. And that's what I was trying. Those are the beans I was trying to spill in the beginning.
I know.
Because it seems like more than half her life, there was some real misery and hard times.
It's so hard.
Yes.
But then what's also a little heartbreaking about this film is hearing her talk about how she left Ike and started her own career.
Mm-hmm.
And still the people, the interviewers, everybody wants her
to talk about Ike.
And, like, asking her, what was your worst moment with him?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I don't want to, it's not what I'm here to talk about.
Right. Yeah, she, from what I saw, handled those moments really well.
I mean, it's like I said, it's just so fun to watch her and listen to her.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2007, Ike died.
Cocaine overdose, I believe.
Oh, was it?
I think so.
Yeah, he had a drug problem. Right. I was so glad to see in this film, because I didn't know, because there was a moment when it looked like they were both doing drugs, but maybe it was just him.
Mm-hmm.
And I started thinking,
in the recording studio?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But doesn't seem like she was ever involved in drugs.
Yeah, it certainly didn't come up.
So then they did a musical about her on Broadway. And she has this documentary, and this is her way of saying farewell to her fans. Mm-hmm. And
off to Switzerland she goes.
Yeah. And she just wants to hang out with her cute guy.
Yeah. Her property looks beautiful, and I wouldn't mind.
Does it?
Being in yes. I wouldn't mind being invited. I feel like Oprah always gets invited everywhere. You know?
It was very beautiful there. It's very beautiful.
But doesn't it seem like Oprah, whenever...
Yes, Oprah's... Wherever there's a beautiful place in the world, she's like, and here we are.
It's like, of course she's
I'm here
there.
With Tina.
Yeah. Of course, Tina's walking the red carpet, and there's Oprah. Well, look at that. Oprah was able to make it. I would love to be that person. It's because Oprah started out as kind of trash TV host. People don't typically remember that, but she evolved to a more sophisticated,
more like enlightened person,
yes, and super soul Oprah. Yeah,
super soul.
But, you know, if, what's his name? Who is the mayor of Cincinnati?
Oh, like Maury Povich.
Yeah, I mean, it's not him. But, like, what if Maury Povich was always...
showing up at everyone's beautiful estate.
Yeah. Oh, hi, look. I'm Maury Povich is here. No, the guy who has the talk show where people like slam chairs on heads and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, like
Jerry Springer.
Yeah, if Jerry Springer or Maury Povich was the ones that lasted through all time.
Yeah, now sitting down with royalty.
But I just want to put it out there that I'm happy to...
You're available?
If Oprah can't make it to events, you know, with the royal family or... Mm-hmm. Actually, she probably wouldn't be invited to the royal family right now because she...
No, not anymore.
She spilled those beans. But just if there's anything where you need Oprah to appear and she can't make it...
You're the next best.
I can.
Okay. Tig, are you ready for some final thoughts?
Yes.
It's time for Happily Ever After Thoughts, where we give our final thoughts on this week's documentary. Did you cry?
I did not. Did you?
I did not. Mm-hmm. I did not. But I loved it.
Well, you got your tears out.
Yeah, in the 90s.
In the 90s.
Yeah, I can't cry anymore.
You're all that... cried out. Remember that 80s song?
Ma cried out over you. Oh, that was a sad song.
Are you, just a side question, are you an 80s music fan?
I did like the 80s music, yeah. Mm-hmm. How about you?
Are you too good
for it?
Quit shaking your shoulders with attitude when you asked me that. I was going to say, I wasn't fully into it yet. I got really into the British invasion that happened in the 60s, but I got into it in the 70s and it lasted into the 80s. And then it took me a while to really start appreciating pop culture and pop music.
Like Madonna and, I mean, I hate to say Michael Jackson because this is part of the...
Madonna, I mean...
part of the bigger discussion. Yes.
Yeah, I liked Madonna. I like Madonna.
But I liked... I also liked Van Halen and AC/DC.
Oh, like those, I love all that stuff.
That was really fun.
Yeah. Really fun. Yeah.
Who were you attracted to? This is a ridiculous question.
Tina Turner. You too? You were too?
What are the odds that we were both attracted to Tina Turner?
I know, but I feel like the last few episodes we've been attracted to the same person. And it's getting a little close for comfort, you know? Okay. I don't want to have to be establishing dominance and...
What are you, a German Shepherd?
Puffing my chest out and be like, I'm with Tina. Excuse me.
Well, to be fair, there aren't that many characters in this film.
Okay.
And Tina Turner is very dynamic and beautiful. And her
sweaty.
Body and sweaty. Yeah, come on.
Do you like
and
sweaty?
Her dance. I usually don't. But with her, yeah.
I can roll with it. You can roll on the river of sweat.
Do you like sweaty?
No.
Not usually. But no. What about her sweat?
It's awesome.
Okay.
She can kind of do no wrong. I was going to say I don't like sweat, but I think, you know, if let's say Stephanie was out exercising or something and came home and she was sweating, I would think it was
adorable.
Attractive. Just like, she's...
Like sexually attractive?
Just like, oh, cool. She's was working out and she's sweaty.
Worked up a cute sweat.
Yeah,
so it depends on who's sweating.
Yeah, I don't want any old...
I don't like stranger sweat, no.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know who does. Is there anybody who would be... If you encountered a stranger
and they were sweaty... I would choose stranger sweat. I mean, when you go down the line, of course, it would be your own sweat, then your partner, and then a friend. Like if you and I were in a public, like at a Tina Turner concert, and it was hot out and we were sweating, I would probably, what's that?
Dancing up a storm.
Dancing up a storm, as we do when we go out. I would likely lean closer to you and your sweat than to mystery person on my left who is also sweating. I would probably just go, you know what, I feel a little safer in your sweat.
Yeah.
But I don't want you sweating on me just in general, you know.
Okay. Note taken. Yeah. Well, listen, I think that was a really great documentary.
I thought it was awesome. I thought it was really well done too. It was really well appealing done. And
but don't watch it before you go to sleep because you can't get the music out of your head. Or you can. You can fall asleep during.
I'm the person that if I go to a movie, I need to go to the 11 a.m. movie so I can be awake.
Are you 80?
I mean 50. Not too far off, you know?
You're on your way.
Yeah, you're closer, though.
By the way.
Yeah.
Our next doc will be Tickled, which you can watch free on Pluto TV.
What is Pluto TV?
I can't say Pluto TV.
Wow. What is it? Have you ever heard of it?
Mm-mm. No, but
It's
Google
free
it.
On there.
Yes. Before we go, should we read some true fan mail?
Yes.
You really had to think about it.
Well, I zoned out.
Laura V. asks, I do have a burning question to ask, though. There's all sorts of mention of Cheryl shaking her shoulders when she says certain things. I'm just having a hard time visualizing it. Is she sort of shrugging them up and down or shaking them back and forth? If you could post a video somewhere of it, it would really help.
What is this person?
This is Laura V.
Laura V. It's like if you shake your shoulder, you alternate shaking your shoulders up and down, kind of like a bobblehead. Your head bobbles left and right and your shoulders go up and down, right? That's what you do. You know when somebody's like, yeah, and you think you're so... Right, Cheryl? How would you describe it?
I think you nailed it.
Thank you.
We love reading your messages, comments, and reviews. Please keep letting us know what you think about the docs and leave us a review, and we might just read your responses on the show.
Cheryl?
Yeah?
Should we do it again?
Yeah, let's do it again. Tig and Cheryl True Story is hosted by me, Cheryl Hines, and Tig Notaro. It's produced by Gabby Kovacic and Thomas Willett, audio engineered and edited by Thomas Willett, with music by David Sussin. Special thanks to Patrick McDonald and Stephanie Allen. Follow us on social media for updates and review and rate True Story on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. You can email us at tigandcherylTrueStory@gmail.com.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.